Father, just pray many of you, your word will reach us.
Yes, Lord.
Even the one word that makes a difference in us. We have seen it many times, that one word is a revelation sometimes, or a way of thinking, of approaching things. So Father, we'll pray that there will be a revelation in what we're here today. In your precious name, you be glorified, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, amen. What a wonderful time of worship in the presence of God this morning. I was going to start with something, but, you know, hearing testimonies this morning has really wanted me to share some more, because actually what we're going to be talking about today is getting closer to God and not settling for less than what he wants for us. So everything that's happened this morning is already fitting. But actually, I want to remind myself and you of some of the testimonies that I've experienced personally. So some of you may have heard some of these things, some of you may not have, so I'm going to say them anyway. There was one day when I was driving in Greece, and I was driving down a dirt road, and it wasn't the summer, so it was a fairly quiet time of the season, and I was speeding. Sorry, I was speeding. And someone came in the opposite direction, and so were they. But the problem was, there was only enough room for one car. And all I had enough time to say was, "Oh, Jesus," and close my eyes. And when I was waiting for the crash, but when I opened my eyes, I looked, there was nothing there. And when I looked, somehow the car was behind me. I have no idea how, but God is good. There was another... Pardon? There was another time we actually were involved in a car accident. Not my fault. I know that comes after that one. Not my fault. But we're in, or Costas as well. But what the family, or at least my daughter and Costas and myself, were in a car, and we were in quite a bad head-on collision. Not our fault at all. I was told by doctors that I probably wouldn't get to move this arm at all. It was very bad situation, and I have some horrible scars, which I, as you can see, I often try to hide. I have a metal arm, but do you know what? Someone once said to me about 8 years ago, "Would you like us to pray that those scars disappear?" And for the first time, I thought, no, because they're my testimony that I've come through this, and I can praise God with this arm, because doctors told me I would not lift this arm, I would not move this arm. So that's one of those testimonies. The other thing is, when we were going through all of that, we were in a very bad situation. We were both quite badly hurt, and we had a little daughter who was about 18 months old. I couldn't look after myself, let alone a child, so we had to hire a carer. So we contacted around some different agencies, and we said, you know, "Do you have anybody?" "No, haven't got anybody." Eventually, I contacted a nurse friend of mine, and I said, "Do you know anybody?" She said, "I think I know an agency that's got someone." We rang the agency. The agency said, "We do have someone, but she's Bulgarian, and she doesn't speak Greek." I said, "Okay, what does she speak?" "English." Thank you, God. So she came. She came, and she actually calls me her sister. She is like a sister to me. She is so wonderful. And she got saved. But the thing is, before she came, she wasn't a Christian. She didn't know about God. But God gave her a dream that she would come and she would be with a family where the woman wouldn't be able to move her arm. So God sets us up. So when the word says that all things will work for the good of those who love the Lord, he really does mean it. You know, this is one of my closest friends. She doesn't live in this country anymore, but I love her to bits. You know, I got healed of many different things when I became a Christian. Are you enjoying this, by the way, or am I boring you? Okay. When I first became a Christian, I was just about to go in hospital because I found that I had lots of cysts in my body. And, you know, they were all there. It was all confirmed. I went in to have them removed, and I went in, and there was nothing there. There was nothing there. Okay, and the doctor was like, "Oh, okay, well, I don't know why you're here. There must have been a mistake somewhere." So out I came. My sister-in-law at the time wasn't a Christian either, but she was getting to know the Lord as well. And so I told her, so that was a great testimony. My brother later became a Christian through my sister-in-law as well, and God. So what else? Oh, yeah, I had lots of different things going on. So the cysts got removed. a friend took me to a meeting, and there were about 200 odd people in the meeting, maybe more, and there were some people from America who had come to prophesy, and they had a prophetic healing ministry, and they were picking out about 10 different people, and the first person they picked out, they went really deep into their life, and I thought, oh, I was a new Christian. Don't pick me, you know. I was terrified what they were going to say, but actually, they did pick me, and I was thinking, oh, no. And I actually, when I'd had my second child, I'd knocked the base of my back out, and something had happened to it. And before that, I did a lot of aerobics, a lot of exercise. Couldn't do that anymore. And I also had asthma since I was age 4. This person said to the people next to me, lay hands on her chest and her back, because that back is going to be healed and that asthma is going to go. I was stunned because I hadn't told anybody and I didn't really know anybody in this church. And all I could think of was, I wonder how they found that out. And I was trying to work it out logically. You know, did someone say something? Was it that calm because they didn't know? You know, and I went round and round. And for 2 days, I was quiet. Even my husband didn't know what was going on. I was trying to figure it out, you know, because it was just like, how did they know? But you know what? The funny thing was, every night I used to get up. Oh, and this was before the cysts, by the way. I used to get up in the night and I'd be in a lot of pain. So I'd get up and I'd be bent over. And after that prayer, I actually got up and I was bent over again. And I thought, hang on a minute. Didn't you say I was healed? And it went straight away. Sometimes we have to claim what God gives us. Yeah, we have to hold on to it because the enemy will come in and try to take those things away. I was blessed with 2 beautiful sons. I love them dearly. But one day I was sitting in my garden and my friend came over and she'd had a little girl. And I was thinking, I was just thinking to the Lord. And I was thinking, oh Lord, I would have loved a little girl as well. But this was like nearly 19 years later after my eldest son. And I was thinking, but hey-ho, it's over now. I'm not having any more. The next thing I know, oh, by the way, about 7 years prior to that, I was in the church and a lady had said to me, you're going to have a child. It's going to be a girl. And I said, no, I'm not having any more. But actually, that day, I sat in my garden and it was just between me and God. I was thinking, I would have loved a little girl as well as my sons. 7 years after the original prophecy, I found out I was pregnant. What a shock, 19 years later, you know, after my first child. But I had, and the funny thing was, when I was talking with God, I had a picture of a little girl in my head with long golden hair, you know, with curls. That's my daughter. That is my daughter. Long, curly, golden hair, you know. God is so good, isn't he? I could go on. But I'm gonna start moving forward a little bit. But actually, it ties in with my message because my message is all about not settling for less. Because actually, I'm so hungry to see more things. Yes, we've seen lots and lots of miracles and healings and provision over the last few years with the church, with people in the church, with family, with friends, with the Giving Hope. We've seen all of this. But oh my gosh, the more I see, the more I want to see. I want to see more. I want to have more of God. And the thing is, I can never imagine as much as God wants to give me. Because God's imagination is so much bigger than mine. He is so much more powerful than me. He's so much more loving and kind than me. The thing is, he created us with a plan and a purpose. Before you were a dot in your mother's eye, God knew you. God knew you. And he knew that you were going to come into this world and he had a plan already for you. And he said, I want that one to do that, that one to do that, and I'm going to gift that one that. He knew exactly what he wanted for you. But until we see his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, we are not receiving everything that God wants us to have, are we? Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So those miracles that we see, those healings that we see, are just a dot, just a ripple of what we can see, because God's got so much more planned for us. He loves us. I want to see God shake this nation, this community, with signs and wonders. I want to see us walk out onto the street and our shadow, because Holy Spirit is in us, touch lives of people, that they come and say, what's different? What can I do? How can I get close to God? What's going on? I want those questions. I really do. But as I hunger and thirst for him, that's how he feels about us too. He wants our attention, our love, our praise, our time. The very first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. There's more than just other gods, you know, as in metal things, wooden things, whatever things, you know, that people create. They're not gods. But a god can mean anything that you put and prioritize over our Father, over Jesus, over our time reading the Bible or spending time in his presence. A god can be anything that we make it to be. But God's first commandment, thou shalt not have any gods before me. Why? Because he wants to be with us. That's what he wants. He wants that relationship for us. Deuteronomy 4:23 says, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. God doesn't want to share his temple. And who is his temple? You and me. He doesn't want to share you. He wants all of you. He loves you. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are in times at the moment where things are moving in the heavenlies so much more fast. Believe me, there are battles going on that we can't see. There are things happening around us that we can't see. Just like in the story of Elijah when he got really, really scared and he said, oh my gosh, the servant of him, by the way, sorry. Was saying, what's going on, what's going on? And he prayed, open his eyes, the Lord. And when he opened his eyes, chariots and horses of gold and angels were surrounding them. We have no idea what is going on around us. But believe me, those forces are for you and for me. This is a time to push on through and use the authority we've been given. John 16:24 says, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Matthew 7:9 says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? In other words, if we ask the Lord for more, he's always going to answer yes, if it's in his will and if it's good for us. If we ask for a brand new telly, he may or may not. But he does want to bless you. And talking about that, you know, we say, oh yeah, well, I can't just ask for anything. Well, we can. But he'll only give it if it's good for you. When we had that accident that I spoke about earlier, it meant that Costas had to take my car, which meant we were living on the beach house, which was miles away from anywhere. There was no buses, no taxis, nothing local to us. So I was stuck. And I'm not a person who likes being stuck. I am. Mary's laughing. She knows me. I do not like being stuck. I'm always busy. I'm always doing something. I cannot sit still. And I had a small baby and I couldn't go anywhere. So I prayed, God, I can't take this much longer. You have got to help. I had a phone call within 1 day, 2 days. My friend said to me in Athens, she said, are you going to come? We're all getting together and have a meeting. I said, I don't have a car anymore. I can't get there. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, I've just brought a new one. Do you want my old one? Thank you, God. You see, when we ask, God knows if it's good for us. He will answer our prayer. Now, I don't have a perfect recipe to see miracles and healings. But a very good start would be to spend time in God's presence, yes? Yeah? To ask, to read, to pray, to praise. Okay. Jesus told the disciples in John 16:7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to move on your behalf. He wants us to step out in faith, and he will meet us. Now we read in Acts 2 that Holy Ghost came and filled the disciples. And when he did, he transformed them. Now I know we often look to Peter because of his failure, but actually the reason I'm going to use him again, because he's a wonderful example of the transformation of the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Holy Spirit came, he transformed a fearful Peter into a bold, confident Peter that was so full of Holy Spirit, no one could shut him up. And the result, 3,000 people get saved straight away. Last week, we went to see Franklin Graham. There was a lot of praise and worship and a very, very brief talk from Franklin. But the power of the Holy Spirit was so powerful that hundreds came forward at an altar call. Holy Spirit is on the move. We have no excuse. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." You may think you're too timid and you can't go out and tell anybody or talk to anybody. Do you know, the first time I was asked to speak, just to lead in a church, I went in the back room and cried first because I was terrified. People look at me now and think, "She looks so confident." That was not how I was. But Holy Spirit does something in you that the passion inside you just has to break free. You have to tell someone about the goodness of God. Holy Spirit is in you, guys, and he will do the same thing in you if that's what you want. We have no excuse. Peter had been timid and afraid, but Jesus told them, "Wait for the promised gift." And when Holy Spirit came, the people were transformed. I bet the heavenlies were in a party mode when that happened. Can you imagine all of a sudden everything going wild and all these people hearing the good news in their own language? Can you imagine? It must have been a spectacle. So if you are thinking, "I've missed my chance. I did get a blessing once. I was filled with the Holy Spirit once, but I don't think I can do that anymore. I really kind of messed up and I don't know if that's for me anymore." Those same people, not all of them, but some of those people who were filled in Acts 2 were filled again in Acts 4. Acts 4:31. If you don't believe me, read it. We were created, you see, to have a relationship with the Father, and he is waiting for us to come close and do all of the things that he has created you and me to do. It astonishes me that we have such a powerful God who is so loving, so kind, and so patient. Amen? He never gives up on us. He sees us completely different from how we see ourselves because he sees the potential in us. He doesn't see us as we are. He sees us as we are created to be. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." 1 Corinthians 12:7 talks of the gifts of the Spirit that have been given to us. I'm just going to read it, actually. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So it's not given to us to put in our pocket, sit down and say, "Oh, thanks, Lord, that was nice." No, it's given for the common good. "To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom." If you think you have it, use it. We need wisdom in this world. "To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." "To another, faith by the same Spirit." "To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit." "To another, miraculous powers." "To another, prophecy." "To another, distinguishing between spirits." "To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues." "And to still another, the interpretation of those tongues." All these are the work of one and the same Spirit as he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. But I'll take us back to that first sentence. They are given for the common good. Have you ever asked God what gift you have? Do you know? Do you know? Put your hand up if you know what your gift is. Okay, that's not bad. Thank you, Lord. For those who don't, bless them, show them, Lord. Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Every one of us can give our testimony. That's bringing good news. Giving testimonies of what's happened, what God's done for us, the love he has for us, what you've seen. Yeah? If you have been saved, that's a testimony. That's a way of sharing with someone why. Why were you saved? I know I was saved because I was losing a baby. And I said, if there's a God up there, I want my baby. So he gave me my baby. Luke 10 is where Jesus sends out the 72 and he tells them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I'll read that last one. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them, so you can share your peace, that gift of the Spirit, that everybody is given peace. If not, it will return to you. That's quite interesting, isn't it? You carry peace. It's not saying if you've got that gift, it's saying you have peace. When you go to a house, say, peace be on you. I never do that, and I've learned something this week. I will start saying that if I remember. Look, sorry. So, if you go to a house, say, peace be on you. You can spread the peace of God to somebody else. And if they don't want to accept it, it will come back to you. So that's fine. Verse 9 says, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And remember, Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit as a helper. We are not alone in this. You don't have to be timid. You don't have to be, because Holy Spirit will meet you in it. If you want to see more miracles, if you want to see more healings, what's the best way of getting those healings or seeing those miracles? Pray for someone. Pray for it. Step out. Do it. John 14:10. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. It's the same with us. When we pray for someone, you don't have to think, I don't feel great today. I'm having a really bad day. I was like that yesterday, by the way, so I'm speaking to myself just as well. But we don't have to say, I'm not having a good day. I can't pray for someone. It's not us. Father who is living in me is doing the work. That's what the word says, yeah? Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't change them. The word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Keep the commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, who will be with you forever. We don't lose Holy Spirit. He is with us. He is in us, even when we can't feel him. Wonderful what Mufunda said this morning. Yes, the presence of feeling him sometimes is amazing. Sometimes we feel him more powerfully than others. But he's in us anyway. Yeah. That is a promise from Jesus himself. Holy Spirit with us. We're going to spend some more time today just worship him. Now, I've actually spoken longer than I intended to, but I kind of went off on a tangent. But I want us to just spend more time with the Lord, and I want us to pray for each other. So if you don't do it straight away, I want you to praise, pray, ask, invite Holy Spirit. And then if you have a word for someone after a while, and there's no pressure on this. If you haven't, don't do it. It's not a problem. But if you do, feel free to share an encouraging word. Yeah, we only ever give encouraging words. But we are here for God. And we are going to do what God wants. And as I've just said, what does God want? To be with us. To spend time with us. He doesn't want to share this temple, your body with anybody. He wants you. So this morning we are going to just sit and worship. You can sit, you can stand, you can dance, you can do whatever you want. But we're going to spend more time with God this morning. And you're going to get a chance to ask for what you need. And we are going to have ministry. And I'm thinking something came into my head earlier, and I might just do that. I'm just going to figure out how to do it while we're doing that. But we may actually do... Has anyone heard of a prayer tunnel? Okay. I was thinking we might do a prayer tunnel, because it came to mind, and I thought that could be very interesting. We have a couple of people who need to be prayed for, so we might share that later. But for the moment, we're going to spend time in God's presence, and then we might just do a prayer tunnel. So... yeah, let's carry on. Just spend time in God's